My guest is attorney, trial attorney Joe Liebman. Been trying cases for 30 years. He lives in Santa Barbara. And we're going to be talking a little bit about some cases here. The T-Fire victims, victimized twice. We've had the police officer who works for the district attorney who has actually gone after some of these people, one being this woman who just started bilking people. And what is your connection? How did you fit into this?
Well, you know, Mark, I handle cases typically dealing with aspects of real estate, real property. So I've handled cases for T-Fire victims. We've talked about this on your show before, for example, where a number of T-Fire victims were told by the city of Santa Barbara after their homes were destroyed that they could not rebuild their homes because of a city ordinance preventing them from rebuilding. So we actually ended up trying that case here in the Santa Barbara Superior Court, and the trial judge found that the city's ordinance preventing my clients, a handful of T-Fire victims, from rebuilding their homes that they had occupied for 20 or 30 years, the court found that that ordinance was unconstitutional, that it was an unconstitutional taking of property rights. And that kind of case is called an inverse condemnation case. So the city was ordered to either lift the building ban and pay what are called temporary taking damages, or the city was given the choice to leave the ordinance in place preventing reconstruction and, in effect, buy my client's properties from them. The city decided to lift the building ban and actually change the law, and the city was found liable, however, for the 3 years plus that my clients couldn't rebuild. The city appealed that ruling. It's currently on appeal up before the Court of Appeals, so we're awaiting a decision on that case.
Wow. But how do you calculate damages of 3 years by not allowing someone to build?
You know, it was a very hard calculation. There really was no case law telling either the city attorney or my office how to actually calculate that. And we had two expert appraisers, one for the city, one for the T-Fire victims, who testified on what a fair rate of return would be for the properties if they were given a certain value, and that's what the court ultimately found was an appropriate award. But it's interesting, in the cases that I typically handle, many times these are cases of first impression, and it makes it more difficult for a lawyer to handle. These cases tend to be technically difficult, and from a legal standpoint tend to be very complicated, so it's important that you get a lawyer who focuses on real property, and you don't get your family trust lawyer or your personal injury lawyer to handle these cases. So that was a very interesting case. I handled another case for another group of T-Fire victims where a city road, a public road, had been allowed to deteriorate by the city to the point where my clients could no longer drive to their homes. And we sued the city after asking the city to repair the road. The city refused, and the court again found that the city had taken valuable property rights by not maintaining a public street, and the city was found liable and had to pay compensation to my clients. So again, that was another type of inverse condemnation case.
They seem very related. Which one came first?
The first case was the case where the city prevented the clients from rebuilding.
And for not, right, and not related to not having access on the road. I remember the road access case. That was featured in the news press quite a bit.
It was. And now I have another case, actually a few cases, where I represent T-Fire victims who unfortunately hired either unscrupulous contractors or unqualified contractors to rebuild their homes after the T-Fire. As you probably recall, Mark, and I'm sure as your listeners recall, after the T-Fire, There were new homes going up everywhere because hundreds of homes were burned in the fire. And there really weren't enough qualified local builders to rebuild the homes. So we had people come in from out of the area who, maybe weren't qualified or maybe actually were dishonest. And unfortunately, the homeowners who ended up with those contractors are paying for it now, and they're having to sue the contractor, the various subcontractors, because sometimes the contractors walked off the job after getting paid. Sometimes the work was defective. I have a couple cases now where a house is moving and cracking. A lot of work was done improperly. Wiring was done improperly so that there are safety issues. So it can be very, very daunting for an individual after a natural catastrophe to rebuild their home. And if you hook up with a bad contractor or an unscrupulous contractor, it's going to be a real problem. And that's what I'm dealing with a number of T-fire victims, unfortunately, now.
Yeah, as you put it to me, you know, they were victimized twice. It's really an awful situation. And I'll be curious to get an update from you on the first case you mentioned about how the city law was declared unconstitutional by the court, and your clients that you represented were able to rebuild. And so define again, like condemnation, correct me if I'm wrong, the city can, it's called like the taking of property, and we had that Kehoe case back east where the city will say, look, we're taking your house, we're condemning it, it's called condemnation, and we're going to put the freeway there. So it's for the public good. Is that a reasonable?
Yeah, that's a fairly reasonable description. We've all heard of the term condemnation or eminent domain, and a good example, Mark, is what happened when the Milpas off ramp heading toward the ocean was redone. There were properties along that stretch of land that were condemned by the city and by Caltrans, so that the Milpas off ramp could be rerouted from what it otherwise was. So the government has an absolute right to take property. But if the government does that, and by the way, it can be state, it can be city, it can be federal, if the government takes your property, the only requirement under the Constitution is that the government must pay you what's called just compensation, which is the fair market value of what they're taking from you. And that is a very hotly litigated topic, because typically the government's appraiser thinks that the fair market value is low, and your appraiser thinks the value is high, and that's where the real fight comes in. Because in an eminent domain case, you can't fight that the city's taking your property. You can only fight over the amount they're paying. In an inverse condemnation case, the government is not taking your property to put in a freeway or a freeway off-ramp or put in a school. You have a public improvement, or you have government activity that has deprived you of some or all of your real property rights. For example, like in the T-fire case we talked about a moment ago, where the government, the city in this case, refused to let my clients rebuild after the T-fire. It's not as if the city was going to put something where my clients' homes used to be. The city had no interest in doing that. The city's position was, we're not going to let you rebuild, we have our reasons, and we don't owe you anything. And the court found otherwise. The court found that the city's conduct was in fact unconstitutional, was in fact inverse condemnation, and the trial court ordered the city to pay compensation, just compensation, to my clients who were unable to rebuild because the city refused to issue them building permits.
But in addition, they actually, and that's where you said they gave the city two choices?
Yes, the trial court gave the city two choices. Number one was to either rescind the law that was preventing my clients from rebuilding or amend the law. Number two was to leave the law on the books, and then the city would simply have to pay just compensation for the full value of the property being taken.
And they chose the number one?
The city chose number one, to amend the law, to lift the building restriction. And ultimately, the court also decided that my clients were entitled to be compensated for the 3 years plus that the city refused to let them rebuild.
Right, and that's what's under dispute right now. I'm talking with attorney Joe Liebman, who works across the state of California, but we're lucky enough that he lives locally and for some reason enjoys calling me every so often to talk about his life, which I find quite fascinating. So the inverse condemnation, that's very rare?
Well, you would think it would be, Mark, but I just was contacted by a client who lives right around what's called Lake Hollywood or Hollywood Reservoir. It's a it's a reservoir almost below the Hollywood sign in Los Angeles, and the dam that created Lake Hollywood was actually constructed under the supervision of William Mulholland, and who was really the gentleman who was kind of a big player in getting L.A. water from the Owens River on the Eastern Sierra years and years ago in the 20s.
Wasn't that the movie Chinatown based on
it? It sure was. Yeah, the movie Chinatown was based in part on Mr. Mulholland and the L.A. water escapade. But so Lake Hollywood is not for drinking water now because it's an open-air reservoir. But it's a man-made lake, and there are some very, very expensive homes around Lake Hollywood on steep hillsides. And the Department of Water and Power of the City of Los Angeles has as part of maintaining Lake Hollywood, has made cuts at the bottom of these slopes right above the lake. And these cuts or excavations of dirt have weakened the landslides so that the hill between the houses at the top of the slope and the lake is moving. And when the hill starts to move, it makes the houses move. And these are multi-million dollar homes. So I've recently filed a case against the DWP and the City of L.A. representing these homes for this conduct. And again, when you look at what the city did here, it's not as if the city went in and said, we're going to take your property. It wasn't anything like that. The city went out and engaged in work that benefited the public, meaning maintaining Hollywood Reservoir. And in doing so, it caused damage to private property. And that is what's called a physical taking in inverse condemnation. And the government is strictly liable, meaning that as an attorney, I don't have to show that the government was negligent. Like in your car crash, Mark, if you had sued the person who rear-ended you, an essential element of your case is showing that that person was negligent in the way he or she was driving their car. In inverse condemnation, as a lawyer, all I have to show is that the government activities resulted in damage to private property, to my client's property. Another very important factor, and one of the factors that makes inverse condemnation such a powerful weapon in lawsuits against the government, is that by law, the property owner, if he or she wins, is entitled to be repaid his or her attorney fees and expert fees, which can be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So these guys, this Department of Power and Water down here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, the DWP.
I mean, you know, they just didn't get engineering guys to guide them. They just didn't understand what they were doing. It was just complete incompetence.
Mark, it could be all of the above. I don't know. I mean, I can speculate, but I really don't know. It's hard to believe that in this day and age, what we know, given what we know about landslides in Central and Southern California, which happen with great frequency, you know, we're not blessed with the geology of Italy. If you've ever been to Italy along the coast, there are villages on vertical cliffs 200-300 feet high along the Amalfi Coast that have been there for centuries. In California, our geology is not nearly as good as what we find in Italy. And Italy, you have a lot of rock. In California, it's a lot of dirt, a lot of clay, a lot of shale. And all of that soil is going to move and has moved, but it's going to move if you cut the toe and remove the support for the upper slope. So why it is that the DWP engaged in this conduct, I don't know. But the geology that we see along coastal California is weak, and therefore when you build on hillsides in Santa Barbara, Ventura, Los Angeles, Orange County, you have to take precautions. Sometimes the house has to be constructed on caissons, which are long concrete pilings that go down into the ground. Sometimes you need to construct huge retaining walls.
And the caissons have to go down a bedrock. And it's funny you mentioned the retaining walls, because there's an uphill case. You talked about unpermitted retaining walls. And why don't we take a break, and we'll come back for our third and final segment with trial attorney Joe Liebman. He practices all over California, lives here in Santa Barbara. We'll come back for our third segment and interview. And then, of course, the fourth segment, we'll do a short segment for my weekly multiple listing sales update. So stay tuned. You'll be right back.